Welcome to Purdue Commercial AgCast, the Purdue University Center for Commercial Agriculture's podcast featuring farm management news and information. I'm your host today, Jim Minert, director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. And joining me today are my colleagues, Dr. Michael Langemeyer, who's the associate director of the Center for Commercial Agriculture. And we also have with us today Dr. Brad Lubin from the University of Nebraska, where he is an extension policy specialist as well as an associate professor in the Department of Agricultural Economics. Thanks for joining us, Michael and Brad. Appreciate it. We want to talk about making your 2024 crop insurance decision. On a previous podcast, we talked about making the farm program decision. And when we wrapped that up, we kind of wrapped it up talking a little bit about the interplay between crop insurance and the farm program decision. We'll follow up with that as we kind of move through the course of our podcast here today. Michael, maybe a few key terms to kind of review with respect to crop insurance to make sure everybody's on the same page.
Yeah, before I get into this too far, we will post the slides that we're looking at here when we're doing this podcast, and so keep that in mind. You don't necessarily need to be writing all of this down. It will be on some posted slides because some of this terminology gets pretty specific. We're going to talk a lot about enterprise units today, and that's the addition of all basic units in one county for a single crop. You can also buy basic and optional units. Basic units are all of one crop in a county for a specific share of production is insured separately. And so the easiest example there, if you have different crop share arrangements with different landlords, those would all be a separate unit. The optional unit, each farm and crop is insured separately. As you go from enterprise to basic to optional, the premiums increase rather dramatically. And so enterprise units, because it's combining all those basic units in one county for a single crop, is the lowest per acre product there. But as you know, it doesn't quite provide the same protection as basic and optional. In terms of revenue protection insurance insures against revenue loss for a change in price, a low yield, or a combination of these two items. When you're talking about a price change, Brad mentioned this in the other podcast, the Farm Policy Podcast. This is very important to keep in mind. You're talking about a price drop from the spring to the fall. When you're looking at farm policy, when you're looking at our county PLC, that's not the same period that you're looking at there. You're looking at benchmark prices and reference prices, and those are calculated using five-year Olympic averages. And so the price drop here is from the spring to the fall. And the reason why that's so important is it's not that common. We'll talk about this a little later, Jim. It's not that common to have a 15% drop in either corn or soybean price from the spring to the fall in a given year. So the revenue protection guarantee, which we'll also talk about, is trend-adjusted yield times your coverage level. There's a lot of choices of coverage level, and then the greater of the projected price or the harvest price. And that's also a very important point. If the projected price is higher than the harvest price, then the projected price is used in the revenue protection guarantee computation. On the other hand, if you have a year like 2012, for example, where the harvest price was substantially higher than the projected price, your revenue guarantee is actually higher than it was when you were buying the insurance product in the spring. And so the projected price is based on settlement prices for the future contracts during February, and then the harvest price is based on settlement prices for futures contracts during October.
And you mentioned this, Michael, but we're recording this on the 27th of February, so we had to estimate the projected prices, but they're going to be pretty close to the reality, right?
We also estimated the volatility, and as we've pointed out before, I mean, the volatility really does matter. If you have higher volatility, you have higher premiums. One of the things that's pretty important to keep in mind is the projected price in 24 is going to be substantially below the 2022 and 23 projected price. In fact, you calculated this, Jim, and it was about 21% below when you're looking at 2024 compared to 22 and 23.
I think our listeners probably already knew it was down, but the magnitude is kind of stunning with that 21%,
really,
right?
To be reminded of how far it's fallen does not help.
Yeah, exactly. So you looked at the dollars per acre, and that's, well, obviously the percentages are going to be the same, basically, but that's kind of stunning as well.
Yes, the revenue protection, the guarantees are much, much lower. If you look at, for example, Posey County, we're using Posey County in our examples here, the far southwest county in Indiana, you're looking at, even with the 85% revenue protection, which would be a very high coverage level, the highest revenue protection coverage level you can get, your guarantee would be $718. Last year, if you had the 85% RP product, your guarantee would have been over $900, and so a big drop in revenue guarantees.
And again, looking at the chart that you put together, Michael, if you go back 2 years to 2022, that drop on the 85% coverage level is almost $300 an acre.
Yes, it's rather large.
Yeah, so that's an eye catcher. It's kind of stunning to think about what's happened in a short period of time.
Now, one of the advantages, we'll get into premiums here in a little bit, one of the advantages of having a lower revenue guarantee and a lower price is the premiums are lower.
That's true. All right.
But you're getting less protection.
So why do most producers purchase revenue insurance? That's a question you posed, right? So
yes,
I'll let you answer.
I'll let you answer that one because it has to do with put options.
So crop insurance does give you a put option, and Brad Lubin mentioned this when we were on our previous podcast talking about that. The embedded price in there, whether that turns out to be the projected price or the harvest price, is effectively a put option. But the problem with the 2024 is the fact that that put option strike price is a much, much lower, and as we indicated, roughly 21% on corn lower than it was last year. So in the case of 85% coverage, that means price has to decline by more than 15% for that put option to be effective. And you took a look at this from a historical perspective. This isn't really a forecast, but it's a historical perspective, and it doesn't happen very often, right? I think it was
four out of the last 17 years, we had a larger than 15% drop in corn price, and one of those years was just barely.
Yeah, so if you just take the raw numbers there, that means one out of four, yeah, approximately, but as you point out, the one was a kind of a break-even, so to speak. All right, let's take a look at the comparison, the crop insurance bundles for corn. And one of the things we wanted to do was ask the question, do you want to either increase or perhaps decrease your coverage? And then maybe an easy kind of a thumb rule way to do that.
Now, we've made some assumptions here in terms of the projected price and the volatility. And so the premiums would depend on what those final numbers come up, where they come up. We've also assumed a 190 trend-adjusted yield for Posey County. That is about where the trend-adjusted yield is, but we've assumed kind of a county average there, even though we're looking at a farm-level coverage here. And so let's start with 75%. The 75% product, you get it's $15.40 approximately, and you have a revenue guarantee of $665. As you move to 80%, you get about $11 jump in premium, but you also get about a 45 jump in the farm-level revenue guarantee. To me, that's a pretty good buy, Jim. That essentially means that about you have to have a loss more than one out of 4 years, in order to make that pay. I don't think that's that big a premium jump for the extra revenue guarantee that you get. And so that explains why a lot of producers in southern Indiana go with that 80% product rather than the 75% product. However, when we go from the 80 to 85% product, you're talking about a pretty significant increase in premium. That premium goes all the way up to $46 per acre. That's kind of an ouch, if you will. But you still only get a $44 to $45 increase in revenue guarantee. That's a pretty expensive increase in revenue guarantee going from 80 to 85%. And so a lot of producers I've talked to in southern Indiana, that's just too big a jump in premium to move to that 85%.
So for clarity there, Michael, when you were looking at, for example, the 75 to 80% jump in coverage level, you came up with a computation that said, well, it's going to cost roughly $11 an acre to get $45 of coverage. That works out to, using the exact math, I guess about 24% of the time. Yeah. So what we're saying is you'd have to... that 5% jump in coverage would be triggered one out of four times for
yes.
that payoff, right?
Yes.
It's not the total payoff. It's that jump in coverage that we're trying to analyze. So for listeners, an easy way to look at this is to maybe download the slide. Maybe that makes that a little more clear with respect to thinking about it. But intuitively, you know, it's kind of a nice thumb rule with respect to asking yourself, particularly when you looked at that 80 to 85, Michael, and you said, well, hey, what are the odds of me collecting on this additional 5% of coverage more than every couple of years?
Yeah, those are not real good odds.
Yeah.
Now, if you go to Northern Indiana, we're not going to show a separate slide for Northern Indiana. If you go to Northern Indiana, you can go all the way to 85%, and it's and the premium, it still makes sense to go from that 80 to 85% because the extra premium is not that big for the jump in revenue guarantee you have.
All right, let's turn our attention. When we did the other podcast with Brad Lubin and we talked about farm program choices, one of the things we talked about was if you decide to go the PLC program choice, you should look carefully at what's known as supplemental coverage option, or SCO. So let's walk through how that works.
We've covered some of this already in the policy podcast, but I don't think it would hurt to cover some of that again and then maybe elaborate a little bit more. First of all, SCO can only be purchased on FSA farms on which PLC is chosen. That's extremely important. Also, SCO provides coverage from 86% to the coverage level of an underlying revenue protection or yield protection policy. Well, revenue protection is by far and away the workhorse in the crop insurance world, and so let's talk about the revenue protection product. And so, for example, if you picked 80% coverage level for Posey County, you could buy this SCO coverage and protect from 86% down to 80%, or an additional 6%. You know, 6% of the revenue would be covered with this SCO product. The SCO indemnity payments are capped because you are looking at a very specific range of additional coverage that you're getting. And another thing about SCO that's very important to keep in mind is SCO is a county-level product. And so if you had revenue protection coverage at 80%, that's based on farm-level yields. That 80 to 86% could be protected with the SCO. That SCO is based on county. And so your county yields may or may not be correlated with your farm yields or vice versa. And so it's important to keep that in mind when you're looking at the SCO product. Another point about the SCO product, fairly heavily subsidized. And so it's fairly low premium to go that extra percent, going from 85 to 86% or going from 80% to 86%. At least when I've looked at this for different counties in Indiana, you're only talking a few extra dollars to go to 80 to 86%.
So, Brad, I think one of the challenges with the possibility of choosing the SCO is it's probably not all that attractive if you're thinking about 85% coverage. It becomes more attractive as you start looking at lower levels of coverage on your RP policy, right?
Right. I would agree that the higher you want to buy individual coverage, the less valuable SCO becomes. It's just a smaller gap. Whatever advantage SCO has plays out over a smaller gap, and the extra value of it just isn't there. But if you have, compare it to ARC, and there's a reason, as Michael noted, you can't have SCO and ARC together. You have to have one or the other. Technically, we should add a footnote in there. You can buy SCO if you're not in the farm program altogether. So you don't have to be in PLC. You just have to not be in ARC to note. But fundamentally, if I'm choosing to enroll in ARC, it's because I'm happy with the safety net that's tied to revenue at the county level that protects me from 86 down to 76. If I'm thinking SCO sounds like a better deal, maybe it's because I'm not already buying up to 75% or higher. Maybe I'm protecting a lower level and that gap can be filled with a county product. Maybe I like the price protection of PLC better and I can effectively replace SCO with, or I can effectively replace ARC with SCO. And maybe that's one other alternative. Think of a different back of the envelope calculation. What's SCO or what's ARC really worth? It's the value of the SCO product that you could have bought as an alternative. That's sort of the maximum expected value of ARC. What's the value of PLC? It's sort of what a put option at the effective reference price would have been. So you could do several different calculations and try and figure out what the market thinks they're currently worth, what the insurance market thinks they're worth. But fundamentally, the more that you want individual coverage and the less interested you are in SCO, then the more you lean towards ARC. The more interested you are in SCO, the more you lean towards PLC.
And so let's be really specific here. For Southern Indiana, we can include Southern Illinois and Kentucky also in that comparison. What we're suggesting here is when you're looking at corn, for example, look at ARC County or perhaps look at PLC with maybe an SCO coverage of 6%. And so maybe choosing that revenue protection product at 80%, and then if you want some additional coverage, look at SCO to go from 80 to 86%. So that kind of gives you a couple things to look at.
I would agree with that, except I'd probably take it maybe one step further, Michael. And I think particularly as you think about Southwest Indiana, Southeast Illinois, you mentioned Kentucky,
Yeah.
probably look at the 75.
Yeah, go ahead and do that
75.
too.
75
Yeah.
would be a very viable option
Yeah.
combined with SCO.
Yeah.
And Michael, this might put you on the spot. I'm sure you can handle it. The relative federal subsidy levels for SCO are higher, I think, than what the subsidy rates are for those highest levels in individual coverage. So
Yes.
when you go from 75 to 80, or when you go from 80 to 85, you give up on the subsidy support. SCO ends up being a more supported product at that level, right?
Yeah, the extra, another way of saying that, is the extra amount you pay for SEO is not very large. It is heavily subsidized. For example, I'll look at Posey County here. If I want to go to 80 to 86%, so I have 80% revenue protection. I want to go to, use 6% SEO. You're talking $7 per acre. That's not very much. But again, you got to do use PLC. If you're going to go that route, you need to choose PLC. And so.
And then the corollary is remember when you buy the SCO product that it's a county level product.
Yes.
And that could be a stopper for some folks, right? So all right, what about the ECO, enhanced coverage option?
Yeah, the enhanced coverage option, this is a relatively new option, and so a lot of producers haven't really taken a serious look at this, but I think there's situations where this does fit. If you're dealing with a farm that really can't afford a very large loss for whatever reason, this is a product to perhaps look at because it certainly does give you a higher coverage level than what we've been talking about so far. In fact, with the ECO product, the enhanced coverage option, you can go to 90% or to 95% coverage level. And so think of this as an addition or endorsement on top of your revenue protection or yield protection product, just like SCO. Coverage extends from the selected level down to 86%, which is the point for the SCO. And so if you're doing 90% ECO, you get protection from 86% to 90%. If you're doing 95% ECO, you get protection from 86% to 95%. That 95% is getting up there, folks. The caveat here is the same with SCO. You are combining county level coverage. ECO is county level coverage with your underlying revenue protection, which is farm level coverage. And again, Jim, some people just aren't comfortable combining county level coverage with farm level coverage. As Brad indicated in the policy podcast, it probably makes more sense in the Eastern Corn Belt, but there's still a lot of people I talk to in Indiana that just aren't very comfortable with combining, county and farm level. So that is the caveat. But again, if you really need more of a safety net than is provided by the revenue protection products, this is an option.
So, Michael, you've taken a look at some bundles of insurance and made some comparisons
Yeah, we
here.
already talked about the revenue protection products, 75, 80%, and 85%. And so if you wanted to go up to the 90% ECO, again for Posey County, you're looking at an additional $12 per acre to go from the 85% revenue protection all the way to the 90% SCO. If you're going from the 75% product up to the 95% product, you're talking an additional $30 per acre. That sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money. And again, this is county specific, but you start getting up to 95%, you've got a pretty good safety net there. But also on the slide, I have noted here that your farm level revenue guarantee does not go up with ECO, and so you keep the farm, you keep the same farm level revenue guarantee as you had with the underlying revenue protection product. Rather, you get an additional county revenue guarantee, and if your farm and county yields are not that correlated, you're not protecting your farm level yields. And so again, we have that caveat that we're mixing farm level yields with county yields. And so I've got several scenarios that we're going to go through here rather quickly. The first scenario I'm going to talk about is a 10% drop in price and hitting trend yield. And so a 10% drop in price is not going to trigger any of the revenue protection products. So you get no additional dollars there. It would trigger, it would start to trigger the 90% and the 95% ECO. And so even a 10% drop, you'd get some payout in particular with the 95% ECO. And so it just shows you that you don't have to have a very large drop in price and the 95% ECO kicks in. That assumed that the farm and the county yields were the same. I've got a second and third column, in particular the second column, that assumes that the price is the same, projected price and harvest price is the same, but in this case, the county yield is right at trend, and for whatever reason, the farm yield was about 20% below trend. And so I purposely made it a fairly big number, you know. And so the farm level is below the trend. In this case, you get a revenue protection payout for 80% and 85% because it's over 20% reduction in yield. You get nothing, no additional payout on ECO because the county yield didn't change. And so that's a scenario where your farm yield is not correlated with the county yield. And again, that'd be very farm specific, whether it is or it isn't. But you can think of a lot of counties, Jim, and even in Indiana, where there's a lot of difference in soil quality from one end of the county to the next. And so that's not that extreme of an example. Finally, on the third column, I'm actually looking at an increase in price from the projected to harvest. This is your natural hedge, if you will, with a reduction in farm and county yields. And so both are being reduced. And here we get payouts from revenue protection, and we get additional payout from the county level coverage in that case. And so the bottom line here is if your yields are fairly correlated between your farm and your county yield, these products work pretty good together. And so at that point, you're just deciding, do I need an additional safety net above 80% revenue protection or 85% revenue protection? If those yields are not that correlated, then you're really comparing apples and oranges when you're looking at the revenue protection and the SCO and ECO.
And to maybe take it one step further, Michael, if you are really highly, very highly correlated with the county yield, then the 75% becomes more attractive on the RP product.
Oh,
right?
Definitely. Yeah. I think you're looking at that 75% and then maybe getting 11% SEO.
I think our listeners could tell Michael tends to lean towards a very conservative risk management program.
But this is particularly important for soybeans. We're going to talk about soybeans here, but I think it's particularly relevant for soybeans, maybe picking a lower coverage level and thinking about increasing SEO. The problem there is we didn't recommend PLC for soybeans, and I'm not going to either.
Okay. All right. So let's flip and talk about soybeans. So the projected price for 2024 is down substantially. It's down 16% instead of 21. That's the good news, but it's still low. So I think the number was, at least through last Friday, was about 1161. That'll change a little bit as we get a couple of more data points there, but it's going to be in that ballpark. And that gives us lower guarantees. I'll let you talk about the guarantee.
Yeah, the revenue guarantee, just like corn, we don't need to belabor this. The revenue guarantee, just like corn, is much lower in 24 compared to what it was in 22 and 23.
Yeah, so I think, again, looking at your Boise County scenario, what, the 85% coverage level this year, 523 versus 614 last year.
Yeah.
So down significantly.
One of the things we sometimes talk when the revenue guarantee goes down is we sometimes say, is that a situation where on increased coverage? So we're trying to kind of embed that in our discussions here. When we look at the increase in premium, we're also thinking about that. But let's go through some of the same steps here we did with corn for soybeans in Posey County. At the 75% revenue protection, it's $7.13 per acre. So pretty reasonable price on that. For an additional $6 per acre, you can go to the 80% revenue protection product. And then for another $11, you can move to the 85% revenue protection. That, and each time you do that, your guarantee goes up approximately $30 to $35. And so my point here, I want to also say on this slide, just like I did for corn, going from 75 to 80% seems logical to me. That's not that big an increase in premium for a fairly large increase in farm level revenue. In fact, we did our percentage, it's 20%. When you start going to that 80 to 85%, then that percentage we were talking about with respect to corn is 33%. So you have to have losses fairly often to make that jump work. And so 80% seems to be the sweet spot for corn and soybeans in Posey County. Looking at the ECO products, here the increase in the dollars is not quite as big as what it was for corn. If you go from the 85% revenue protection to the 90% ECO, you're talking an additional $6 per acre. Moving from the 85% revenue protection up to the 95%, you're talking about $16 there. Yeah, so it is a rather large increase as a percentage, but the dollar amounts aren't as big for soybeans as they are for corn. But as most people know in Indiana, you don't cluck very often on soybeans compared to corn either. Another way of saying that is soybeans tend to be quite resilient in terms of their yield.
And Michael, I think before the program started, you and I were talking about this a little bit. You've done some calculations and looked at how often soybean contracts pay off in Indiana. It's pretty rare.
Yeah, I did. I did an example using White County, and I think it was once in the last 25 years, and the payment was small. It was one of the early 2000 years. There has not been a payoff since 2007. Depending on the coverage level you have, of course. But if you had 85, just not very often you get a payout for soybeans compared to corn.
And I think that same analysis applies over in Illinois as well.
Yes.
At least in most counties. So something to think about.
So we did some scenarios again, looking at a drop in price, a different farm yield compared to county yield, and an increase in price, and keeping the farm yield and the county yield the same. And so let me just summarize this real briefly. If you're looking at a drop in price and your farm yield is the same as the county yield, that ECO product is going to kick in. In fact, that ECO set 95%. I had a student that was doing a thesis looking at different crop insurance products and different grain marketing strategies, and that 95% product kicks in often. But you're paying for that. I mean, you that's why you're paying so much for that, because it does kick in fairly often. Looking at the second column, if your farm yield is not the same as your county yield, in other words, they're not correlated, you're not going to get any benefit from the ECO if the farm yield is low and the county yield is not. If both the farm and the county yields are lower, they're going to both have payments in terms of both revenue protection and the ECO products would be in the green, and you'd be getting some payments for having low yields if that's the case. So it's the same story with corn. You really have to think about how correlated these farm and county yields really are. If they're not very correlated, I don't think the ECO products are that attractive compared to what they would be if they are correlated.
Yeah. So let's kind of wrap up here and kind of see if we can draw some conclusions for our listeners. On the farm program side, Brad, thinking about ARC versus PLC, sounds like we think that you've really got a decision to make with respect to corn, but not so much on soybeans. On soybeans, we both, maybe all of us, lean towards the ARC County program. On the corn side, you could at least think about the PLC program, in part, if it fits in with your insurance strategy. Is that kind of where you're at?
You know, I would probably remember I come from a slightly more risky area than you guys do, but I would probably suggest that ARC looks like a stronger safety net, kicks in faster, kicks in bigger, unless you're really bearish on prices. And you got to decide how bearish you are on prices. If you're really bearish on prices, you can paint a scenario where PLC wins for both commodities. So ARC wins, unless you're also a fan of SCO, and then you want to see how SCO adds to your safety net, maybe better than ARC does, particularly for, you know, sort of given where insurance prices are relative to safety net prices. take a close look at SEO and see if that's a better alternative.
And I agree with that. And I would just maybe add one additional point, and that is if you go the PLC route on corn, you should look very hard at purchasing SEO. Michael, do you agree with that one?
Yes. If you're going to go the PLC route, you need to do it because you're thinking about purchasing SEO. Otherwise, it doesn't make it, like Brad said, our county is going to probably pay more frequently.
Yeah. If I was debating, the numbers would suggest the only real reason to go to PLC is if you're also planning to purchase SEO.
All right.
It's hard to come up with a bearish enough scenario where PLC beats ARC on the direct comparison.
Yeah. So I think we've maybe given our listeners some good thoughts with respect to making their decisions on both the farm program and the crop insurance side.
Yeah, so. And the crop insurance, I mean, we spent 30 minutes here just for me to tell you that using 85% in northern Indiana revenue protection looks like a pretty good product to buy. And 80% revenue protection in southern Indiana also looks like a pretty good product to buy. It's the same as last year, but I don't see no reason to necessarily increase your coverage. Again, we have that caveat on corn that if you are looking at PLC, then you probably should maybe reduce your revenue protection coverage and buy SEO.
All right. With that, I'm going to wrap it up. Go ahead, Brad.
Jim, I would let me offer one wild card tangent point here that is worth mentioning, but it's relevant. This debate about ARC versus PLC, and we sort of lean one direction. Unless you're really bearish. Well, if you're really bearish, you can draw scenarios where payments get really big on a per acre basis. If payments are big enough on a per acre basis, you can also have producers that have enough acres that suddenly payment limits matter. And it doesn't do any good to enroll everything in one program crop if you're going to cap out on payment limits on just half your acres or something. So there could be a few larger producers who see the scenario where neither farm program will actually pay the max because they'll cap out before I ever get there. Maybe they'll actually diversify and choose some of both in that case. But
yeah, that's a good point, one we hadn't talked about, and it doesn't apply to a lot of people, but it probably applies to some of our listeners. So that's a good point to think about.
If we look at some of the potential payment rates on there in the $80 to $100 per acre range plus big PLC payments, if you get down that far, then suddenly it doesn't take that many acres to cap out.
Yeah, that's right.
$125,000 payment limit per person. So
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it is. All right. With that, we're going to wrap it up for today. And I want to thank my colleagues, Michael Langemeyer here at Purdue and Brad Lubin at the University of Nebraska. Thanks for joining us today. And on behalf of the Center for Commercial Agriculture, thanks for listening to us. I'm Jim Minter.